didn't rate us 5 stars on iTunes, there was going to be something that we had to do about it. And really, we reused one of the more epic threats that have been on this podcast over the course of about a year that we've been around. And just to ensure that you guys are going to rate and review us 5 stars on iTunes, I figured, what better way to do that than to bring back the person who made that epic threat?
I have returned with my huge prosthetic wang, and I will use it with abandon, and perhaps even gay abandon.
So, Christian Nairn, everybody. Christian Welcome Nairn. To our
Applaus.
Show.
Hello.
Applause.
Applause.
Hey, listen, it's the boy club. Selena couldn't make it. It's a busy day here on Game of Owns. We're making podcast magic. Christian's here. He's Hodor.
Hello. Hi. Well, it's nice
to Christian,
be back.
So, Christian, it's been a couple months since our Hodor Week episode, series of interviews. How have you been? What have you been doing?
Well, there's an all-encompassing question. I've been pretty busy, to be honest, with the run-up to Season 3 coming out. I've been doing lots of interviews, podcasts, been playing lots of games, was in a BBC show called Ripper Street, been preparing for a couple of things. Yeah, and now I'm just ready for Season 3 to be out. It seems like forever that we finished. I can't believe it's only out next week. It's unbelievable. You know, it seems like 29 years ago that we finished filming. So
when did you guys finish filming on it?
Well, they did it differently last year. Instead of, it's usually all over the place, to be honest, but last year it was in blocks. So we finished our filming at the end of October.
Right.
So literally I haven't worn a sack since October.
Well, we can get you a sack if you need one. We'll put some calls out.
Yeah, I've got some here as well, just for some RP.
There you go.
We never know.
We could get you a prosthetic one to go along with the other piece.
Just call Micah.
I have my own.
Michael will organize that for you.
I have a drawer full of mixed race.
He's like
prosthetic
this,
wangs, just depending what mood I'm in.
This one was the Hodor one. This one. He's got giant blood in him. I call this one Shaft. He's a detective from the 60s.
That's the scariest one, I'm gonna have to say. Yeah.
We thought about bringing Christian back because obviously he's one of our favorite characters from the show, also a friend of the show, and also a friend of Winter is Coming. So it's just like the perfect time to bring you back on the show, man. It's like all these things
are
coming together.
I don't like Winter is Coming.
Oh, well, good.
No, I think it's a really cool thing that you guys have you've hooked up, because they're great guys, and you guys are great guys, and you can be all great guys together.
We're thinking about starting a social club where we meet at Denny's every Sunday afternoon, and we just talk about the world.
Mm. You done any DJing lately, Christian?
Yes, I've been doing that quite a lot. To be honest, I tend to do that when I'm not filming, so I sort of fit that in around the other stuff. Although I have to say, I've been snowed off recently. As I look out the window, it's really fucking snowy here. No comments about North of the Wall, but it is very snowy here. So
he lives with wildlings.
I'm going to tell my mother you said that. She is a bit feral, but you know. Yeah,
I wanted to ask about Ripper Street. I looked into it for a little bit, and it's BBC America, and I definitely want to catch this or find this. But from what I gather, you know, just from the information I found on the website, it seems to take place after the famous Jack the Ripper murders, but still, you know, in the late 19th century in England.
Yeah. I think it's so you're going to show me up for lack of knowledge and something I was involved in, which is very typical of me. But it's the precinct in London who, I think they sort of fluffed up the Jack the Ripper case that he got away. Mm-hmm. And this is what happens in the preceding, or the time after that happened. Mm-hmm. And basically, to me, it's a lot of people have agreed with this. It's like a Western in London. It's quite strange.
that sounds awesome.
It's beautifully filmed, and the cast is great. And yeah, it was a lot of fun. It was very different to Game of Thrones. It was quite a quick shoot. And it's definitely worth a watch. There's a few Game of Thrones cast in it, like the Jerome Flynn is one of the leads.
Oh.
Yeah, and I think, there's a few other. Well, there's three of us, I believe.
What was your role on the show?
His name was Barnaby Silver. It was a small role, but it was in the finale episode. Basically, we were a family of human traffickers. Really horrible things we did to those girls. And he's kind of like the muscle, and it turns out he's actually the brains behind it as well. He's the older brother. Mm. But funnily enough, I was also given the role of looking after a little girl. So I see there's maybe a typecast going on here where I'm going to be like sort of a nanny. I'm always sort of given a small, vulnerable child to look after.
Well, so if it ain't broke,
Christian. Yeah. Oh God, no, I'm quite happy.
There you go.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not going to complain.
Yeah, still though. It sounds really interesting, and I definitely want to see it. Obviously, the second season, I guess, will air. It's gearing up, and it's going to air in 2014. So okay. These shows, they seem to you just have a lot of time between when you work on them and when they air. I guess that's never been more apparent to me.
Yeah, well, you know, as a newcomer to the business before Game of Thrones, it was interesting to me as well. I kind of thought they rolled out quite quickly, but the post-production is a very lengthy process, but it seems like, I know even on Game of Thrones we're in ADR right up until, in fact, sometimes during when the season goes out for later episodes.
Hmm. It's so funny to think about it, because I think about modern recent television, and I'll bring up a show like Glee, where their release schedule is so staggered over the entire year that when the pilot and like Succession all the way up to the fourth episode, people are watching this, and this is over a span of 4 to 5 weeks. They're still writing episode 8 and 9, you know, and they still have to film that. And that's just so funny to me. But like something like Thrones, they're just, I mean, not only is the canon already written, but they are so set in their ways, and they're already filming. And like you said, you were done in October.
Yeah. Yeah. They then went to Iceland for, I think, 2 months.
For a little beach vacation.
No.
We were talking about this on a previous episode of Game of Thrones recently, but
yeah.
Do you think, you know, if you could comment on what the prospects are for having a season 4, like when do you anticipate going back to work if they do decide to start up season 4? Have they talked about that, or any plans come through?
Nothing officially has been confirmed. We haven't been retained or anything, but if they do, bear in mind that if it was going to happen, I wouldn't be able to tell you until it's officially announced.
Sure.
Right. I'm sure you can imagine that there probably will be one. There's no way. This is just me personally speculating. There's no way they're not going to continue with this. Anyway, it would be starting around July, probably, to film.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's get a couple more months.
Yeah, and it's going to be a busy couple of months, to be honest. It's all going pretty crazy at the moment, to be honest.
Mm.
Now, with all the previews and the trailers that have come out over the last week or so, what storyline are you most eager to see? I mean, Hodor aside, obviously, you know, which are kind of your favorites that you followed over the first couple of seasons, or even, you know, having read the books?
Or having not read the books and having read ahead in Wikipedia.
That's what I meant. I was trying to
alert,
just
listeners,
make it
don't
sound
visit
better.
Wikipedia.
Yeah, well, how are we on spoilers in this? I know you guys haven't read all the books. And
I just, like, don't want to be spoiled.
I have to say, some of you will know what's going to happen. And it's a Stark storyline in season 3. It's going to be interesting.
Yeah, I mean, the name The Red Wedding has been thrown around on this show, but I think we've stayed away from,
of course,
you know, explaining exactly what that is and exactly what takes place.
That's the storyline I am both looking forward to, and yeah, I'm just going to say I'm looking forward to seeing the internet, let's say, after that happens.
I'm foreseeing just a massive blow up. I'm foreseeing, because we've seen the past 2 years, the show has been so popular over social media. But I mean, even just now with the podcast and everything else involved, stuff is just reaching some sort of like critical mass. And I feel like,
yeah, so it's like a halfway
through halfway through the season, I think everything's just going to explode. Like, we're going to see trending topics where like 4 out of 10 of these trending topics after every episode is just going to be about like what their favorite character did, their own of the episode. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's interesting that you say the Starks too, because I'm thinking, like, even though the Starks are cool, and with season 1, you know, obviously Ned was, you could say he's the lead, you know, leading character.
Yeah.
But since then, and it's just all the other characters are so fully realized, Tywin and Dany and everybody, that it seems like the show has given us these other people to follow. You know,
it's
instead
true,
of the Starks.
I see the Starks, sorry to interrupt, but the Starks and the Stark children, I see them as like, I'm not going to say that they're the heroes, but they're the people that everyone can be behind. And, like, they're not featured as much as they used to be. And, you know, they're almost like slow burners. People are sort of hoping and expecting that they're going to get revenge and they're going to, you know what I mean? Who knows with George? It might never happen. Literally, we could just be trampled by a yak or something like that. just a completely worthless death.
A massive Arctic camel.
Yeah, just something like that. But I think that's why I like the Starks. And, you know, I don't think they really ever did anything to deserve all the stuff that happens to them, to be honest. Mm-hmm.
On our upcoming Friday episode, I'm going to bring this up as well. But I wanted to throw this your way, Christian, and gather your thoughts on this. This is a quote recently from George in an interview he did on a blog that one of our listeners tweeted us. And I give you a shout out right now, but Micah tweeted some crazy shit from Goo this morning. And so we've got like a million at replies and I'm trying to get through it. But you know who you are. Thank you so much for your submission. But this quote says, and they're asking him about Winds of Winter, obviously, right? Mm-hmm. And he said, I am working on it. It will be a long time coming. I have many, many more pages to do, but I have some great stuff planned for it. A lot of blood and fire and death and devastation and ravens coming home to roost.
Oh, that's amazing.
Think about that for a second. What?
Yeah, well, the ravens coming home to roost is interesting, most of all, to be honest.
Right. I listen to that, and I'm just like, damn.
Yeah, but you know what he's done there, really? He's given you all this information, all this stuff that could happen, and he's just basically outlined everything in that sentence.
So he's teasing me, is what you're saying.
You know, I don't think there's anybody else on the planet who can say a lot without saying anything as much as George.
Right.
Like, over the years, imagine how many questions he gets asked every single day of his life. And, like, he's going to become a great evader of questions.
What would you like for breakfast, Mr. Martin?
We're going to buy some fire and ice and still quite a ways away, but some ravens like, coming home to roost would be great.
Yes. By breakfast, I mean, who is Jon Snow's real mother?
Yeah. the waiter gets, like, taken out in the kitchen by, like, the sous chef. He's like, you can't ask questions like that. And he just kills him on the spot.
Yeah. Do you know, there's one thing that really bugs me, and I'm just going to put it out there. I don't give a shit. See, when I read forums and internet stuff, and, like, say George appeared here, or he's done a panel there, and you read down over the comments, and someone goes, why is he there and not writing the book? I want a button. I want a button that I press and their computer gets electrified and they get a fucking shock.
I'm sure we can organize that.
That needs to be a thing. That needs in a couple years when internet security becomes the main thing and more people are on it and everything, that should be a thing.
Totally, Mike, can we get our Goo hackers on the job, please? You can send an email out, right?
Absolutely.
All right. I mean, they're elite.
God forbid the guy should have a life and go out. And
They have to, like, obviously he needs to write it, but
he's writing it. It's, you know what I mean? It's his job. Yeah. Like, he's doing it. He's doing it on his own pace. That's how I'd rather have it no other way, you know?
Yeah. And, like, it's not as if, obviously he had most of Dance with Dragons done before the show started. It's not as if he hurried up with that. You know what I mean? He took his sweet time over that.
Right.
I don't think he's going to put something substandard out just for the sake of it.
Well, I mean, it's his work, and I realize there's pressure because there's a massive, massive following, but it's at the end of the day, it's his work, and if it's not done on his own pace, then it's not going to come out the way he intended it, and that wouldn't be true to any of us that love the story.
Yeah, well, it'll be interesting to see, like, maybe for one of the first instances ever, people will be able to see, like, a watered-down version of what's going to happen before the book comes out. You know, it's going to maybe be the reverse of everything that's always happened. You know what I mean? You'll see it on the show first, and then you can go in and see all the intricate details afterwards, which is different.
Well, do you think that eventually we might get on a pacing where the show is caught up with the sixth or the seventh book? Probably just the seventh, I'm thinking, maybe.
I think it probably will.
Maybe.
I think it will. If we go a book a year or even splitting the book, I think we're going to catch up, definitely. If he has another book to write after winter, definitely.
You know, that must not be good for you, though, because Bran's going to keep getting larger and larger as time goes on, and that's going to put a serious strain on your back if you have to keep carrying him around.
Yeah, well, we've already sort of sussed that out, though. We've got the cart.
There you go. The magical wheelbarrow.
Yeah, God knows by the time, like, it's going to be like a moped by the time
you get rims on it.
Yeah, or like a Dr. X wheelchair by the time the books are done.
Actually, just recently watched that finale a few days ago, and got to see that improvised Hodor once again.
Oh, really?
Yeah, nice little spot. And then we get to see the epic wheelbarrow shot. I was thinking, guys, we should put somewhere in the layout just a picture of that wide shot with Winterfell burning in the background. Now yeah, that everyone's nice seen it.
Actually, do you know what? That day was one of the most epic days ever because, you know, it's in the most beautiful area you could imagine. You're literally on the top of a mountain. The clouds are all doing like a 360 circle above you, and there's thunder and stuff in the background. This is all in the real life. Like, HBO didn't arrange this. This is just Ireland. And like the wind's blowing and your cloak's blowing around you. And like, you know, that's why it's easy to act well. It's easy to be because it's so real.
Right.
You can imagine you're in Westeros because it feels so detached from being in like Kmart, which is, you know what I mean? It definitely feels like a separate universe. But I have to say, this is not a spoiler, but in the next season, there is an ADR. There was a Hodor I did in the show, and it says best Hodor ever beside it. I want to see if you're going to be able to spot it during season 3.
That's awesome. Will be a challenge to listeners right there, right in.
Yeah, it's a funny one.
So word is you're heading across the pond soon to work on something else.
Yes. It's a documentary film called Treasure Trapped. It's basically set around the LARP community, like live action role play, I've never done it, but you know, being a Warcraft player and being into fantasy and stuff, these people are, well, they feel like they're my people, you know what I mean?
Eric is very interested in this. I've seen Eric gather himself in quite a collection of costumes.
Yes, I have costumes, but I wouldn't say it's quite at the skill level or the attention to detail required for LARPing.
I'm going to disagree. It's definitely at the attention to detail. Eric walks in, right? I'm in Chicago with a bunch of friends. He walks into this apartment and I'm talking piece by piece, including the little sack on his belt for gold farthings and a sword and everything in the exact outfit of Robin Hood from Robin Hood Men in Tights.
Okay.
It is true that happened.
Perfectly exact.
For no apparent reason or just...
No, well, it was Halloween.
Oh, okay.
That said, I guess the attention to detail bit, yes, that was actually very...
That was cool.
...strongly constructed. Yeah, by... actually, I have to give them a shout out.
Yeah.
Twin Roses Designs out of Virginia Beach, I believe. I've known them for years, and of course, they made my Harry Potter robes back in 2004. So I've been dealing with them forever. But, you know, I do think that LARPing, I don't even really know what it is or what it entails. So I actually am interested in watching this documentary.
It's incredible. Like you said, the costumes have an incredible amount of detail. The weapons and stuff, they're made out of foam. But these are majorly expensive pieces of kit. Like, they put a lot of effort into designing these and stuff. And the rule book is incredible. It's like a phone book of rules.
It's like D&D kind of.
Yeah, it's incredible. All the sort of ifs and buts and things you can do and things you can't do. And it's just a lot of fun. I've never done it, but I've done a lot of research into it now. That's pretty awesome.
Oh, you see that? Thank you.
Yeah.
So imagine Eric on the subway in Chicago wearing that shirt. He like literally was the coolest dude in that city for like 3 days.
I have a photo of it on the subway too, but we can move on, of course, but I'll share.
I've seen this. I have to say, I've seen that standard of LARP. I don't know. I've seen a lot higher quality costumes in this.
Right.
Well, the thing is, this starts off with a piece of, just so that people who don't understand what LARP is,
right.
It starts off with a dramatic piece done in the style of your traditional fantasy, Lord of the Rings sort of thing, which is the part I'm involved in. And it'll show it crossing over to, like, say, two LARP guys sitting in a pub with their trading cards. You know what I mean? Sort of doing the actions on the table, what we will be doing in real life.
Oh my god, that is so cool.
Yeah, it'll cross over like that. It's pretty awesome, actually. So I'm really looking forward to doing that.
Well, I'm watching this video. This is really crazy.
Lightning bolt.
Rock.
Do you know what? That was my first video I ever saw of LARP, and I was like, oh my god, these are all wife swappers. But it's not the case. it's not the case. That's a really bad example.
I think it's awesome. I think it looks fun. Yeah. That's like the kind of stuff that I did when I was probably about 12 and wish I could keep doing.
You do worse every day, Zach.
Yeah, it's true.
So, Chris, do you have any plans to be in the States anytime soon?
Yes, actually. I got a call about about a week ago, I've been asked to present an award at the Shorty Awards.
Oh, cool.
Which is for social networking, Twitter, Facebook, and stuff like that. I have to say it was a bit of a shock, but I've heard of the awards and stuff, and I'm really flattered. So I can't wait. It's going to be interesting. I've never done anything like that before, so it'll be interesting. I know Felicia Day is going to be there. Lisa Campanella, I think it's last year, Miss America and stuff like that there.
Yeah, there's been some really high-profile winners as well. I saw Conan win an award recently. I think it was last year
as well.
Yeah, no, that's really awesome. I think, guys, let's go out for one. Let's try to win one next year.
Yeah, you totally could. I'm not sure what the criteria are, but I'm sure you guys tick a few boxes. That's the biggest compliment I can possibly give you.
How about you just steal one for us while you're there? We'll claim that we want it.
Yeah, well, they're hardly going to be able to wrestle it off me, are they?
Hmm. Are you foreseeing any wardrobe malfunctions at this award show? Predictions?
I'm going to have a nip slip.
God. that V is too deep, Christian. That's such a deep V.
I thought he was going to say Miss America was going to magically lose her dress. It's just going to present.
It'll disappear.
Well, do you want me to ask her?
Bring Captain Creepy Face from the House of the Undying. I'm sure he'll make something happen.
Do you know she's a huge Game of Thrones fan?
No way.
Yeah, Elisa Campanella. That's how I know Elisa. Her boyfriend and her, Torrance Coombs. He's a big fan of the books and the TV show, and he got her into it, and that's how we met on Twitter. So she's a massive Game of Thrones fan.
Interesting how adult the audience is for this fantasy series. I've always just been kind of blown away by it.
Well, it's not exactly your commoner garden fantasy, you know?
Right.
With the incest, rape, murder, and stuff. It's not exactly the Smurfs,
The Smurfs unedited, I think.
Yeah.
The unedited Smurfs are quite bad.
Yeah, it's going to be fun, and I'm looking forward to seeing who I'm going to meet.
Yeah, we do want to take this time to remind our listeners that if you did happen to have a question for us, you can contact us primarily via our email for most, things that you want to say to us. That email address is contact@gameofowns.com. And now, Christian, if you want to provide an email address or if you want our listeners to get in touch with you through us, we can do that as well.
Well, you can get in touch with me via Twitter. That's okay. I try to respond.
just give everyone your email.
Yeah, I'm not going to give them email addresses, freaks.
We have your home address, Christian. We really want to visit and see if you need anything.
Bank account details. Yeah, no shit.
Can I have your iTunes account?
No. Well, yeah. If you don't know my Twitter, it's just my name, Christian with a K, Nairn as in biscuits.
Nairn. There you go.
So there is that. And just a reminder that we are, in fact, on iTunes, and that may, in fact, it's likely that that's the way that you guys are listening to us right now.
It's likely.
Mm-hmm. It is. And in fact, in the time that it took to record this episode and Chris made his threat, we got several more reviews, and I don't even know how that's possible because nobody's even heard the show yet.
Space-time continuum.
Needless to say, the threats have obviously worked, and the first review we got in is from Johnny Love 67.
Yeah.
he says, getting excited for season 3 and just started book 5. Great to have a podcast that incorporates both. Great job.
Okay.
Yeah. Johnny.
Got another one from Borden Wilson, who says, I've been looking for a Game of Thrones podcast for the last 3 years and have finally found one. Most of the podcasts I listened to were 2+ hours of the host getting off to their Game of Thrones intellect. Oh. Well, we don't do that here. We have no intellect.
We turn the mics off for that and turn the lights out too.
Finally, I came across Goo. They've got cool hosts who make hilarious jokes and insightful observations about the TV show and series. It's the kind of conversation you'd love to have with your friends while having a beer.
Ah.
Well, that's good.
Borden, I'd love to get you a Mai Tai. Is that a bother? Okay, here we go. What do I say now? Micah, you say something. You're good at this.
And of course, if you would like to rate and review us like Johnny Love and Borden did, you can hop onto iTunes, which is most likely where you downloaded this podcast, and give us 5 stars. Nothing less is acceptable. If you don't rate us 5 stars, I refer to the comment at the top of the show, courtesy.
You know, I just got to say, Borden, that was one of the nicest reviews. That was just, I mean, come on, guys. Let's be real.
It makes me feel good about not being smart. That's my response. That's my feedback to that. That feels, no, I mean, you know, I mean, in terms of being also personable, that there are other things and other, you know, it sounds like you can relate to your friends and conversation you'd like to have with them. That's great. That's just, that is a very nice review.
We literally, the only reason we make this show is so it is a good time. There's no, I don't even really know how to describe it. We don't have like a Google Doc full of things to go into. It's just literally us hanging out with our friends. And for example, today Christian's on the show and we're just having a blast.
Hi.
We paid him to be on the show.
We paid him. Check is in the mail. Also, Christian, thank you for donating your time to us today.
No worries.
We played him in Warcraft gold.
Isn't this what this is all about, too? It's like he lost a Warcraft or something to you, and then he was
actually,
dead.
He did. I fucking destroyed him in a pet battle.
That was the only way you would ever destroy me.
Oh, dude, it was so – I just fucking rage destroyed him. I pretty much soloed him with one of my pets, just one of them.
That's because you are sad enough to sit and play Pokemon rather than level your character. That's basically the long and short of it.
You know, you two guys are pretty funny the way you go back and forth like that, making jokes about how Zach still plays Pokemon. You know, you guys should maybe look into to doing something together down the road. I think it would be pretty funny.
Funny you should say that.
Yeah, that's really funny you should say that, Micah Tannenbaumster. I guess we should let's just talk about it right now, out loud with our mouths.
Okay, well, I'll let you start because I've talked an awful lot.
Barring IMing instant messaging, I'm going to use my vocal cords in this one. I guess right now you could go look at this right now. We've got more news cascading from the funnel of news source soon, but Christian and I have been working on this since like last December.
Yeah.
When you
it's
think
been a long
it,
time coming.
I've been traveling. He's been doing all of his work. He has a busy schedule. I have a busy schedule. Everyone has a busy schedule. And that's on top of making goo and all this other stuff. But starting, I guess right now, you're listening to this show on Wednesday and then everything should be good if all of the people in the back end and everything's straight. But we have begun and started a venture forward into making a program together. And it's going to be a fun little show.
Yeah. What are we calling it? Two's Company?
Yeah. The show's called Two's Company. And all the formal things are coming. But I guess it's a good place to talk about on Game of Owns because all these people are like our friends anyway that are listening.
It's under the title of kind of like an advice show. But it's not set in stone as that. I mean, like obviously, we have both had our own personal experiences. And over getting to know each other over the last maybe 6 to 8 months. So basically, we've obviously had a lot of life experience between us in different ways. And, you know, I like to listen to people. I like to know people's business. In an unofficial way, it'll be nice to maybe try and help some people out. I'm not going to say do this, do that, but it's just to get a bit of different perspective. Because we have very different backgrounds. Very different shit has happened to us. Over the years, and I thought it would be nice to give a little bit back.
This show's really it's about like starting a dialogue. Like he was saying, it's not about like do this, go do this. But you know, some things are fun to talk about. Whether it's funny, whether it's not funny, whether it's about cooking, whether it's about yada yada yada. It'll be fun. It's like a general fun thing. It's kind of hard to explain, but yeah, it's a good time.
We do talk quite a lot and usually ends up being quite funny, and that's where the idea came from. It's just, we really need to record this shit.
That's cool.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
So all you have to do, head over to twoiz.co. The show is called Twoiz Company. It's twoizco on Twitter, all over the place. You guys will find it, twoiz.co. It's fun. We exist.
And it's two as in T-W-O, not the number.
Yeah, that too. Don't put in the number. That'd be kind of funny.
Oh, I love the little this scene at the beach with the nasty umbrella. I love this.
I just said that was my idea.
I've always wanted to use a guillotine. True story. Even on vegetables.
It's totally barbaric.
Well, that sounds really awesome. And as Eric points out, like the setup here on the website right now. Apparently, you guys are sponsored by Nest Tea.
It's a weird partnership.
Do you get free beverages to drink during the show?
We get 30% off. 30% off, yeah.
30% off. All right.
Yeah. Well, do we?
Shut up.
First I fucking heard. Wow.
Zach's been keeping it to himself this whole time.
Yeah, no shit.
Well, thanks to Christian. We really appreciate you stopping by the show again. And
no, we appreciate you coming on, Christian, and you know, allowing us to pre-hash, as it were, season 3, the upcoming season. Plus, it's always good to hear from you and good to catch up.
Yeah, it's been a pleasure. A pleasure as always.
And our listeners can look forward to a Friday episode, very special Friday episode this week coming. So we have one more show before the
show. One more show.
One more show. Yes.
One more show.
It's gearing up to be quite a good one. And that will allow us all to kind of get our heads on straight before season 3. And then, oh my God, like in only a couple days, season 3 will be here.
Season 3 approaches, guys. Eat your Wheaties. Watch what you can of season 2 if you have access. Read clip notes. Read Winter is Coming. Say hello to all of us. This has been Game of Bones. It's a podcast that you're listening to. I'm Zach.
I'm Eric.
I'm Micah.
I'm Christian. Wow.
Yep.